everybody, and welcome to Comfy Club, an excuse for two best friends to talk about video games. And I regret to inform everybody, this is the podcast now. It's just a Coral Island podcast.
That's it.
It's the only game we're going to talk about. Forget Baldur's Gate. Forget Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Forget Palia.
None of those games matter. I'm just playing Coral Island until I die. I think that's it. I cannot express how beautiful this game is. So far, I have 1.5 complaints, and unfortunately, they're like very front and center, but they are so minor, it's so stupid. So I want to start off with those to get them out of the way. I don't like the character model, like of the player character. There's just something about, it's really the head that I just don't like. But I did buy a new outfit, and so I look a little bit cuter, because I didn't love, like, the little farmer overalls with the gloves and stuff. I was just kind of like, that's not the vibe I want. So I did buy a new outfit. It was expensive.
Yes.
But I'm very happy. I love it so much more now. And then I don't like the animation when you do, like, the pickaxe or the hoe. There's just something about it that I don't really like. I don't know. It's so stupid. But those are my only complaints so far. So I want to get those out of the way. Because everything else in this game is perfect. So, because I was really worried. Because, like, when I was making my character, I was kind of like, ugh. Like, they're okay, I guess. Like, I don't love this character, the way she looks. And then when I started farming, I was like, ugh. Why do they look like that when they hoe the ground or pickaxe something? And now I'm like, you know what? I don't even care anymore. So. Yeah.
I love my character. I think they have super cute hairstyles.
Mm-hmm.
I got the cute one with the braids or the bows.
Yeah. That's one that I always, like, think about using. Right now I have the really small space buns.
Cute.
You know, little ones. Mm-hmm. So they're cute. And I just changed into a t-shirt and then, like, the, like, jogger jeans.
Okay.
And, like, some sneakers. So that's my new outfit that I like a lot more than the overalls. Nice. So.
I like the overalls, but yeah, I'm starting to kind of, like, consistently get some money, like, good money every day. So I'll probably, right now I'm trying to get all of the kitchen appliances. So that's kind of where all my money's going.
I have not bought any furniture yet because I'm, like, buying a lot of seeds. I was making pretty good money, and then I did blow, like, 5,000 gold on this outfit, because the clothes were expensive and the furniture is expensive too.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Oh, but yes, I love this game. So, we've talked about it a little bit on the podcast before when it was in early access. Just version 1.0 just came out 14th of last month. And yeah, they've done a couple patches since then to fix some bugs, but I haven't really noticed any bugs other than some, like, dialogue bugs. Like, there was a bug where if you talk to somebody and then you pretty immediately go and talk to one of the dog would do that last person's dialogue.
It's not a bug. That dog can talk.
Right.
I have one pretty consistent bug where the animals' portraits on the map don't load. Mm-hmm. They're just blank rectangles.
I just had that happen last night with the cats, yeah.
So it took me a while to figure out that's what it was. But now that I know that's what it is, I'm like, oh, okay. Because I noticed it when I was trying to find everybody to talk to. So.
Yeah. Oh, where to begin? Well.
We want to talk about, like, the story of the game a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Okay. So, everything you know about Stardew Valley, it's that just plus.
Better. Yeah.
And
it's like Stardew Valley and Harvest Moon and all of those games where you, like, ditch the corporate lifestyle to go live on your grandpa's old abandoned farm. Because that is also the case here, by the way.
Yes, yes.
And, they don't – normally, what I like about this story is that it does kind of assume a lot of things. Like, you're not playing this game with no knowledge of the genre.
Yeah. So, it knows you've already played this trope before. Yeah.
And I'm curious, so when you show up on the island, the mayor says, welcome back. And there's like a couple of things where it's like, this seems familiar to you. So I'm curious if later on in the story, there's going to be some sort of like rebirth or like time travel, like something like that kind of theory. No. Or if it is just like a meta joke about the genre.
It is.
So, okay. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well, it's that, and you have been there before. Like, you
I guess that's true.
You would go there when you were a kid, and what's her name? The twins who run the inn, like, they already know you, like, because you would come to the island as a kid.
That makes more sense.
But yes, but the whole...
Because I haven't, like, really gotten into that part of the story. Like, because one of... They mentioned, like, when I talked to them, they're like, oh, you look different than I remember you. And I was like, is this a, some sort of time travel-y memory loss thing?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Not that crazy. But yeah, the whole, you feel like you've done this before joke at the very beginning. Yeah. It's very funny.
Yeah, it's like all of those games, but it has a more dedicated theme, and the theme is like a Polynesian island, you know, that was impacted by basically a capitalist environmental disaster. So like when you get there, the island is suffering from an oil spill that happened the previous year. So it's not just like, oh, restore the farm and the economy. It's also about cleaning up an ecological disaster, basically.
Yes. All I want to do with my life now is clean up this ocean.
Yes.
And there's this whole town ranking system.
Yeah, the town ranking is hard.
It is hard, but I feel like once you get to a point in the game, it progresses. I just got the town to rank D. I've got the ocean category up to a C.
Ooh.
And they kind of play on each other, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Because while I'm cleaning up the ocean, I'm getting all these coffers and chests and whatever, which then go to the museum and all of that. But
Well, and when you clean up the areas, you get points for that also towards your town rank. So in the ocean.
Yeah.
The not a lot, but you do get some. So yeah, the town ranking is a really interesting concept that I really like because it is different than like the bundle system. So I feel like in Stardew Valley, we're probably going to be referencing like how things work in Stardew Valley also a lot in this. I feel like, you know, the community center bundles are kind of what restores the whole area. Mm-hmm. And I feel like those are two separate things in this game that I really, really like. Because in this game, the bundles are for, like, basically restoring the Harvest Goddess. But she's just, like, the goddess of the island. So I'm very invested in that story. And then I was hoping that this... the community center and the town ranking was going to be a lot easier. So I went in to go check it because I didn't realize I could check it through my menu. And I went in and I was like, what do you mean we're still F rank? I've cleaned up like three ocean areas and I've done one errand. What do you mean?
No.
So now I'm like really like focused on running errands to get our little community stuff up. And does that... Do errands help with that? I feel like they
do. I don't think so. They give you merit points.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And I can spend the merit points on something else.
And the bundles, they do help the town rank. Those go towards the heritage sites. So there's heritage sites, ocean, museum. Is there one more that I'm forgetting?
I think so, but I don't know what it is.
And then all of those combine to make the town's overall rank. So, I'm in. The diving has just got me hooked, man.
Yes.
In this game, it's like everything I do. I am trying to focus on the bundles, but basically everything else I do is just to fund my diving. Like, yeah. It's just to keep my scythe upgraded so I can keep diving. And, oh, I just love it so much. I'm in the deep ocean now.
Ooh.
Which is where the osmium kelp is.
Ooh.
So
you're just really working towards those upgrades.
Oh, yeah. So just like any other farming sim game, you've got your copper, silver, gold, and then osmium. The
purple metal. Yeah.
The purple one in this game. And then also, not only are there just oodles and oodles of NPCs, romanceable NPCs.
So many.
There's freaking mermaids.
Yeah, I do have a complaint about a non-romanceable NPC for a second.
Okay.
Why are they going to make that fashion man so hot? What do you mean?
I thought Antonio was romanceable, and then I was like, maybe I'll go for Antonio, because he's divorced.
Exactly.
I don't care.
You can romance his ex-wife. Why can't I romance him?
Right. But yeah, he's not romanceable.
Yeah, I was mad, because first of all, everyone in this game is hot. Every single person. It's crazy. It is wild.
Yeah.
Insane. Even the people that are like clearly not my type, I'm like, but why are you so hot still? Like, what do you mean?
I know. I'm having a real, like, hard time deciding who I am going to romance.
I don't know how you decide in this game.
I know.
I don't know how. Every person is hot. Every single romanceable person is so hot. It's crazy.
I was thinking Pablo at first, because he's, like, the most outwardly flirty one.
Yes. He hits on me, like, the first time you talked to him. He literally said, oh, you're cuter than I thought you were going to be, or something like that. And I was like, ooh.
Ooh, me?
Whoa. Yeah. And me in my stupid overalls, I'm like, ooh, me? My little gloves.
But I was talking to him one time, and he said something, and I was like, no, that's not going to work for me. I can't even remember what it was now. But and I was like, okay, so you're out. So then I was thinking, Surya, is that how you would say it?
I think so. I don't know.
The marine biologist.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's got brains. We both like this ocean. He's pretty cute. And then it was raining one day and I talked to him. He was like, why does everybody always have to talk about why it's raining? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I like the rain. We're going to talk about the rain.
Talk about it.
So now I'm like, well, he's out. So...
All right, watch out, Ben. One comment about, I don't like talking about the weather. You're out. Women don't like you.
There is a character named Ben.
Yes.
If you want to like romance little, the same
He's like a little name. Hippie kind of guy.
Yeah, I really like Ben. And so then I was like, oh, I really like Ben. I was like, well, I can't romance a Ben.
Yeah.
Gross. And then like the same thing, like there's a lot of names in here. Like there's a Luke. I'm like, oh, I kind of like him. But it's like, that's my cousin's name. And then there's a Sam. Like, well, I have a coworker named Sam. And there's a Raj. And I was like, well, I had a coworker named Raj.
Okay,
like,
but Raj in this game is so cute.
He's pretty dreamy. He's like a
little coffee man and his little mustache and his little vest. I'm like,
yeah.
Again, everyone in this game is too hot. They're too hot all the time.
I think the three that are in the lead for me right now are Theo, who's like a hot guitar man.
Yeah. When I go down to dive sometimes and he's out there on the dock shirtlessly playing his guitar, I'm like, for me? Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Or I was thinking, crap, I was just thinking. Mark, who he's kind of like.
Is he the one with the scars on his face?
Yes.
He's the one that, when I say, like, they're not my type, but why is he so hot? He's who I'm thinking of. Because I'm literally like, why is he so hot? He's so mean, but I'm like, but why is he so hot?
And he's mean to you, which is, ooh, he's a real, ooh, I can fix that kind of guy.
And especially, like, I feel like this is really, this is too meta, but every single person who's, like, a little bit gruff and a little bit mean, I'm like, I'm ready to unlock that backstory. Mm-hmm. Let me find out more about you.
And he loves animals. He works at the animal shelter all the time. Oh. And he was getting coffee one day, and I was talking to him, and he was like, "What? It looks like you have a question you want to ask me," or something. And I was like, there was three different options, and the last one was like, "That scar looks good on you." So I said that, and he was like, "Oh, are you flirting with me, Garden Rake?" And Garden Rake's his little nickname for you. I'm like, "Oh, a nickname? Love that." Yeah. So I think Mark's in the lead for me right now. You think
that's it?
Yeah, he was like mean to me, and he has a nickname for me, and we flirted a little bit, so I'm like, yeah, hooked in. Like,
wow.
Yeah. But I also like Raphael, who's Pablo's brother, mm-hmm. and he's like a real shy guy, but I feel like I can, you know, woo him into confidence, and he's just a sweetie.
Yeah, it is crazy, and I'm still like getting to know all of the different people, because there are so many people. The first quest, like one of the first quests is always like, go meet all of the townspeople. The goal for meeting the townspeople was 30, I think. And when you meet 30 people, there are still like 25 more people to meet.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And I think my favorite thing about this game, like I already love all of the gameplay and all that kind of stuff, but like something that really sets this game apart for me is how it feels like a real town that these people live in.
Mm-hmm.
Because like in other games, you have a lot of people, and I think Polly does a good job of this as well too, where like they hang out wherever they work during the open hours, and then they go to this alternate location, and like that's it. But throughout the week, there are like different things going on, and for like the festivals. So I'm almost at the end of spring, so I've had two festivals so far, and everybody is at the festivals, and you can talk to them, and they like have sort of, you know, character specific things that they say about it, and they all like help out, and the way that like they all know each other, and it feels like so robust. And so I was playing, and I'm not ever keeping track of like what day of the week it is, right? I'm just running around playing my game. And then I was down on the beach doing something, and I noticed that there were a lot of people on the beach. There's some people playing sand volleyball. There's a bunch of people lounging on the beach. There's like a kid flying a kite, like all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like, normally, like, it's the middle of the day. Wouldn't they be at work? And I was like, oh, these are, like, weekend activities. It was Saturday. So, like, there's, like, yoga on one of the mornings where, like, a bunch mm-hmm. of people are doing yoga in, like, the pavilion. And, like, they go hang out in, like, different places. Like, it just really feels like, I don't feel like, okay, they're going to be at location X, and then they're going to be at location Y, and that's all that they do. Like, I just feel like they are really living in this space, which is really, really cool. So,
yeah, it's one of my favorite things. Dynamic than
yeah
we usually get.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I like how the characters seem to interact with each other. Just because, like, they all kind of have different traits, but none of them feel too, like, stereotypey, you know, but they also interact with each other in a way that feels real. Like, so for the museum, the first quest that you really have, like the big one, is to get 50 items because he's going to do a Kickstarter campaign to fund a museum expansion. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because this game started out on Kickstarter. And so, like, when he's talking about it, he's like, talking about the ways to make a successful Kickstarter campaign in like pretty good detail. And I was like, this is so funny and meta for this game. And so, like, he's talking about how he wants to fill the museum because that shows like, oh, we have an actual thing that you're funding. Like, this is what we're doing and not just like a scam. And he says that he got, I don't remember what her name is. I barely remember Millie. Half the people's name. No, the one who takes it, Macy. So Macy is like a photographer, like news bloggery kind of person. And so he's like, yeah, I tried to get her to come and take pictures, but they all looked so sad and empty. And I'm like, it's just so nice to see the characters have like a realistic relationship that isn't just like in the past, you know, like in a lot of these games, it's like, oh, we used to be married, or I dated him, or we used to be best friends, but then this changed. Like, they're interacting with each other in a way, like in the story, that feels like real and modern, which is another cool thing. It's like a modern place. Like, they have cell phones and little cameras and stuff like that, which is cool. So,
Yeah. And I like, you mentioned that the characters, they aren't like as tropey. And I hadn't thought about that before, but it really is true. Like, the town blacksmith, it's not just like
the burly guy with a beard.
Yeah. Right. In this one, it's brothers. And when we talk about this game later, because I'm trying not to look up anything for this game. I'm trying to have like an organic first playthrough experience.
Yeah.
There is like some crazy like family tree nonsense on this town.
Yeah.
So Pablo and Rafael are brothers, and they are the blacksmiths. Their cousin is Antonio, who is the ex-husband of Suki. Yep. And they have a daughter there, and he owns a clothing store. And then Frank, who owns the tavern, has three siblings, and I think it's Noah, Aaliyah, and I don't know who the other one is. And they're all Betty's children.
Oh. Well, and Frank is married to
Erica.
Is she the hairdresser girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what I will say too, and why it is so cool to me that none of the characters are really tropey. So I mentioned that this is like a very general, like Polynesian island, is it would be so easy for them to lean into like Polynesian stereotypes for this, you know? And they don't do that. Like, I don't feel like a single person in this game is a stereotype so far. Like, it's so interesting. Like, there are so many different types of people, and it's not just like, oh, here's our one large Polynesian man, and then our small Polynesian woman, and then our large black man, and then our small black woman, and then a whole cast of white people, you know? Like, it is very, there are a lot of different like types of like races and ethnicities represented, which is so, so cool. So it doesn't feel like they were like checking boxes to make sure it wasn't just like a bunch of white people on a Polynesian island. So.
Right. Yeah. It's really cool. And I think the coolest thing is the outfits.
Yes.
So everybody, the NPCs' outfits change, people. They change with the seasons. They all have, like, their beach outfits. Wear.
Yes.
Yep. I'm in fall now. So I've seen the spring, summer, and fall outfits.
Oh, are the fall outfits so cute? They're
so cute. Oh, my gosh. The men. Chef's kiss.
Are they all layers? In, like, denim jackets and scarves?
There's so many scarves, girl.
Because Polynesian islands are known for being very chilly in the fall and winter, for sure.
Yeah. But, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. Okay. It is, it's so exciting. So, I want to talk about the location and the setting and, like, how the game looks for a second. Because I've been sick this last week, so I'm coming off of that when I started playing this game. And I don't know what it was, but something about this game, just walking around it and seeing it, I was, like, literally, it's so traumatic. I was almost in tears, like, walking around this island. Because it's just, it is so gorgeous. It is gorgeous. And it's huge. This was the other thing, too. I think, like, we talked about it a little bit when we talked about Polya, like the second time, I think, where I was like, I keep finding places. And part of that is because it had like an MMO style map where there's like kind of a bunch of big empty spaces. Mm-hmm. But in Coral Island, there are a ton of spaces, but they're not empty. Like everywhere feels intentional. It is so good. And just like going places was so nice. And like just every time I found something new, I was like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. Like so pretty. Yep. So like, I mean, one of the most beautiful games I feel like I've played. It is gorgeous. Every time I see something new, I'm like, perfection. This is it. Yeah. It's amazing.
I love it. And we don't even have all of the areas unlocked.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, there's still a ton of space. Like, there's obviously, like, classically, some sort of big meteor rock or something that's blocked a path. Haven't done mm-hmm. that. There's a bunch of vines blocking some other paths. There's a whole bamboo forest with a little panda. I can see him out there. There's like a little panda playing a flute or something. And I'm like, yeah. Let me in there. I can see you. Let me in there. Mm-hmm. You know? There's obviously a ton of like the coral areas. We've briefly mentioned merfolk. So I'm assuming there's some sort of like place to go there, which I am so freaking excited about. Mm-hmm. Like, it is just 10 out of 10, gorgeous, incredible. Just every space feels intentional. Like, it's so good. I just, this game feels like waking up in a dream. I feel like I've died and gone to heaven when I'm playing this game. Like, this is where I want, this is what I imagine heaven would be like, this game, living here.
If leaving my corporate job and moving to my grandpa's farm looked like this.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Bye.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't want to move to like a marsh in East Texas or some crap like that?
No. The mosquitoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. I mean, it's beautiful. This game is like phenomenal. And speaking of like graphics and visual stuff, something that is normally a problem in games that they have executed flawlessly, in my opinion, is the fade-in, fade-out of objects that you walk behind. When you walk behind an object, I have not had any issues except with, like, the temporary blocking things where there's, like, vines or, like, when you're underwater, like, the black, like, the goop or whatever. When you walk behind something, it just fades out so easily. I never feel like I'm struggling to, like, see what I'm doing if I'm, like, behind a tree or, like, whatever. Like,
yeah,
it's so good. And it's stuff like that that really, like, elevates a game when you never have to fight the game to do something, you know? And, like, I think we kind of just take it for granted sometimes because so many games struggle with something like that. But this game has just, like, I don't know, blown everything out of the water for me. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it was in early access for over a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they've had a lot of time. They've added a bunch of features. Like, everything you typically get with the farming sim, this game has, plus more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's so great. But to the map, first of all, the mini map you can pull up, amazing. It tells you where the people are.
It tells you where they are. You can hover for buildings. It'll tell you when they're open and closed. It'll tell you who's in the building.
Yep. You can go to your relationships tab in your menu and click on a person and find them. And then it'll show you on the map where they're at.
Yes.
Perfect. Love that. Mm-hmm. I love like the whole town setting because it.
Yes.
You've got your museum, your town center, like all of these games have. Mm-hmm. You also have your hair salon that two of the people that live on the island work at.
You got
your clothing store. You got your electronics store, furniture store, an empty store. So interested to see what that'll be.
I feel like there's two empty stores. Am I crazy?
You probably haven't unlocked it yet, but Antonio's little stall.
Yeah. Does he turn into, like, a real store?
He eventually gets one of those stores when you get the town rank up, I think.
Because there's one, like, up somewhere, and then there's another one that's, like, on a flat front with, like, I want to say, like, the furniture store, or maybe, like, the hair salon or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. There's a whole lab. I love the lab.
Yep, there's a science lab. The observatory? Mm-hmm. Don't get me started on that. And The man who Waku. Works on the yes.
Oh, I know. He's oh a favorite God. Too.
Again, every
you should see his fall outfit.
Every so person good. In this game is too hot. It's just been so many times when I've talked to an NPC and I just like jaw on the floor. I'm like, why? Why are they this hot? It's just so crazy. Yeah. There's a hot spring, so that obviously is something we've got to unlock.
Yeah, the hot spring is great because you walk into it and then it mm-hmm. gives you energy.
Yeah,
as you're
that's what
in there.
I need.
Yes, yeah. Very nice.
What else does this place have?
The corporate pufferfish.
Oh yeah.
Location.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pufferfish is everyone suspects that they staged the oil spill that has hit the island, and that's kind of what they do. They stage these catastrophes
to drive the land value down, and then they scoop it up. Or yeah. like what they're doing is they're like, let us build here to revive your town. We'll make it an oil town. And they're like, oil is the problem, actually.
Yeah. So they're there. So you've got that whole thing going on. And I just can't wait. Because I'm pretty far into like the ocean stuff. Mm-hmm. And I still don't really know what's going on with these fish. Oil black vines everywhere.
Yeah, because they're not like, it's not like a casual oil spill. There's like these big black, like tentacles almost.
Yeah,
like huge
constricting
vines
the like, island.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. And there's obviously like part of it is like there's something mystical going on. Mm-hmm. On the island. So, like, you're reviving this goddess. There are these, they're called giants.
Yeah.
So, I'm curious, kind of like, I want to learn more about them because they have like these big masks on and stuff. And like, they're so cool. Like, very excited. So, you're trying to like revive the magic of the island a mm-hmm. la Harvest Moon, Harvest Goddess, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So
yep.
good.
Very good. Yeah. And we haven't even talked about. All the skills.
There's so many skills. I feel like it's like the normal skills and then also diving. I feel like that's kind of it.
Yeah. Let's go through each one, though. So we've got farming. You know, obviously farming sim. We have all the same tools you would normally have. You got your pickaxe, your hoe, your axe, your scythe. Your weapon and your watering can.
Can I complain about the weapon for 1 second?
Go ahead.
So I unlocked the cavern, but I didn't mm-hmm. go into it because I was like, oh, I'm not really ready to do that yet. And I waited a couple days and I was like, okay, I'm ready to go to the cavern. So I went to the blacksmith, I bought a sword, and then I go to the cavern. And I have this conversation with Kira mm-hmm. where she's like, oh, you must be Mackenzie. I'm like, we already have a whole heart. Like, we know each other already. And because I think they kind of assume, like, you're going to unlock the cavern and immediately go in it, which is what I should have done. And then she gives you a sword. And I was like, I just spent $1,000 on this sword.
Oh my gosh, you fool.
And they're the exact same sword. I was like,
they are.
So stupid.
Yeah. One thing we didn't talk about, we just got so excited, is the settings that this game has. Mm-hmm. Ton of settings. So since we're talking about combat, you can change the combat mode to just default, which is like you'll aggro a monster if you get close to it. And it's like really close.
Really close. Like you have to run into it basically.
Yeah. There are some further down in the water mine that aggro pretty quickly, but there's another option in the setting where you have to hit the monster to aggro it. So if you really don't want to mess with the combat that much, you can change it to that. You can change your default movement type. So like I have mine set to sprint, but you could have it set to jog if you want, you know, more
laid
back.
You can actually change those too. They toggle. I feel like sprint, I don't know, maybe like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm pressing buttons and I'm like, I misinterpret what's happening. But yeah, you can change between sprinting, jogging, and then like walking. with keys on the keyboard. And I feel like the sprint is like a toggle on and off, but it also works if you just hold it as well too. But my default is set to sprint because I'm like, I gotta get places.
Yeah. So. There's also a dash. You can press space.
I just found that out like very late last night.
Oh, no. Like,
well, I don't use it for anything really. And I was
I use it all the time.
For what?
Just for getting combat? Around.
Oh.
It doesn't take up any energy.
That's true.
You know, just like, oh, yeah, I was like,
can you jump in this game? And I press space and dash. And I was like, oh my God. What was that?
You can also change the game time speed in the settings. So default, it's set to 100%. I have mine set down to 70.
Oh.
So, yeah. You kind of change how long the days are, which is nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. And you can just do it. Like, if you're going to go spend the day diving, bump that baby down to 50%. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. And then there's a ton of, like, accessibility settings, like color blindness, other things I can't think of right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, tons of settings in this game. But back to the skills. Farming, ranching, typical.
Ranching, that one is new.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess you don't really have ranching in a lot of them.
Yeah.
Mining. Basically the same. There are like veins that you'll find in the cave that give you whatever ore.
Okay, talk about these veins for a second because I messed up. I was going down and I only got to like the third or fourth level or something, but on one of the levels, I found three different veins. And because I'm an idiot, I just was like, okay, and I followed it. So I was like, what is this? Mine it. And it goes to the next little square. And I was like, okay, obviously I follow this. And it gets to the big one. And then I just mined the big one a single time. So I was like, that's it. And then I got further down and I found another one. And I mined it the one time. And I was like, wait a second. It's still orange. So then I mined it a bunch. And I was like, I'm so stupid. There were three on this other level. Yeah. And I just like was like, one and done. That's it. So stupid. So anyways.
Yeah.
The veins are nice. It's just like a cool little addition, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the big difference mining-wise is there isn't just the mines. It's this cavern, and it has four different mine shafts in it.
Yeah.
You start with the earth one, and it went down to level 40. So I'm curious to see if all the others go down to level 40. But once you reach the end of that, you unlock the water shaft. And when
40
you
levels is crazy.
Yeah. I won't talk too much about what happens then. But there's different shafts. They have different, you know, kind of geodes you can get in them. Different gems come out of those different geodes. That you then donate to the museum, to bundles, whatever.
Yeah.
All typical mining stuff. Foraging, so that's chopping down trees, picking up the little scavengeables that are seasonal, you know, typical.
Yeah.
Diving, that's all new.
Yep.
It's so great. I love diving so much. You just take your
scythe. So peaceful.
I know. You're just cleaning up trash. This is one trashy ocean, folks.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You got to get all that trash out of there. And then you find these, I don't know what you would call them, these little glowy orb guys. That's ancient merfolk technology.
Are they solar something?
Yeah. So you have to clear the trash to find those. Then you activate it. And then that activates this other thing that it connects to. And then it emits this beam out on the ground. And you have to clear any trash that gets in the path of that.
Yeah.
Which, when it gets to the end of its path, this tower will grow out and shoot out these solar beam things.
Yes. Clear away the ickiness.
Yeah. Get rid of the icky and
not the trash,
heal the coral.
Clean that up.
Yeah, not the trash. You don't have to clean that. And when you go back and visit places you've already, like, healed the coral at, seaweed will start to grow where you've, like, cleared trash. So if you don't clear a lot of trash, you won't get as much seaweed. Yep. And then there's combat.
Trash will spawn back in places that you've already cleaned up as well, too. So, like, sometimes I'll go back in and do another little clean sweep of the little pieces of trash that have come up. So
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You use the bug catching net underwater to catch things too, which I thought was really clever. Like a really great way to kind of keep that incorporated in both places.
So. Yes. Yes. There is a catching skill in this game.
Which I love. I love, 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 love in this game. They have executed it perfectly. It's great. When you're catching something, you get like a pie piece. I don't know what to call it. Like a little cone of where you're like looking and gonna catch. And the bugs will have like a little thing over them about how much they've noticed you and if they're about to like run away. And then they light up green when they're in your little cone. So you can tell you can catch them. It is so nice. Like, I don't feel frustrated trying to catch bugs like I have in many other games, because when I catch it, I knew I was going to catch it. If I don't catch it, I can tell, like, that I just was not careful enough sneaking up on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really, really good. I freaking love it.
My only complaint is it's hard to tell some of the bugs apart. Like, I need this specific moth, and I keep catching these moths. I'm like, oh, is that the right one? Like, no, I already caught this one.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Tell that to the real bugs, JC.
I know.
Go find those bugs and say, why do you look so similar, you stupid bugs?
A minor complaint.
Yeah.
My next minor complaint with our fishing skill.
Is hard. Fishing is hard.
Okay, I don't think it's hard.
Ugh, I do.
My complaint is, so, thing I love, 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 love about fishing in this game is to initiate the actual fishing minigame requires no user input. So there's nothing like when you're in Animal Crossing and the bob goes under the water and you have to click it to initiate. Yeah. None of that. So I think it's a lot more calm than what you would typically see for a fishing mechanic. The thing I don't like, so you use your left mouse key to reel in, but you are also combating tension on the rod. If you want to give up and you're like, I can't catch this fish, you right click. I've accidentally right clicked and I was so close to catching a fish and then it was gone. I was like, oh my God.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's
rough. That's my only complaint with that.
Yeah. I will say I do really like the fishing, and they have done something very different than I think a lot of other games have done, where they've kind of combined like a meter and then like actively reeling in the fish, you know? And so I think that is really, really cool. And I understand the mechanic a little bit more. I was struggling because I didn't realize like sometimes the fish will be like fighting it and then it will like stop for a second. And that's when you reel it in.
Yeah.
And when it's fighting it, you just kind of want to just keep it as high as possible, like from dropping too much. So now that I've figured that out, I feel like I'm going to like it a lot more. Yeah. But the first couple times, I literally was like, how do you do this without breaking the line every single time? Because some of them were like fighting a lot and I didn't understand, like, just wait for it to stop fighting to reel it in, you know? Yeah, right. And so I was like, maybe this is really just the game telling me, like, you got to upgrade your rod. Like, you tried to catch a fish that was too hard. And I'm like, that makes sense. I'm sure as you upgrade it, your rod can, like, sustain more tension, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, it was like, I was so confused. Like, the mechanics of it, like, the basics made sense. Love them. But I was like, this is too hard. It's too hard to reel in a fish. But now I, like, it took me a while because sometimes, like, I think you can probably catch almost every fish. I don't know. There's probably some that you just can't. But with the basic rod, like, it just takes a long time. I literally was trying to catch one fish for probably, like, 2 minutes just because that's how long it took to get the meter up with the amount of tension that I was trying to manage. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
There are definitely some fish and bugs you can't catch until you upgrade
your stuff. Yeah, there's like one freaking moth that I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll get close. And as soon as I get even close to it, it just like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm like, well, screw you too. I don't want to catch you.
Yeah. Then what's left? Cooking.
I have not touched cooking at all because I don't have a stove.
So, very different in this game. You have to upgrade your house to unlock the kitchen. Yeah. Got it. Typical. After that, you have to have the right kitchen appliances to do the things.
Yeah.
So, you have to buy like a skillet, a frying pan, a spice rack in order to make specific recipes.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. And then it's just a simple, you could do like free hand or like manual, I guess, mode of cooking where you just choose the appliance and then you throw stuff in there and see if you make something. But if you're doing it from a recipe, if you have the right appliance and the right ingredients, then you can cook. And it's just what would you call that? Where there's a bar and the thing moves and then there's a bar.
You gotta like click in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just that.
What else uses that? Oh, the sack race. I won the sack race, by the way. I played it until I got first place.
Oh yeah. My gosh. I practiced did a bunch of
times. So.
I just figured it wasn't possible. It's like, oh, I don't have enough stamina.
That's what I thought too. But yeah, no, and you can also, when you start it, just in case, you know, when spring rolls back around for you, it's not just like you do it one time and if you lose, you lose and that's it. You can do the actual competition as many times as you want. I did it like 3 times until I won. So, yeah.
I think I tried to and I couldn't because I already did it.
I did. And then I don't know, maybe my game was bugged because I did that. And then I also got all of the prizes. I think I got the first, second, third, and fourth place prizes. And I was like,
that is correct. Doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
So you get, like, I just did the summer beach cleanup festival, and there's a swimming race in that and tug of war. But any of those mini games, you get whatever prize you're. Whatever. So if you got second place, you'd get second place and third place and fourth place prizes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice because it was a lot of money and I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. All that money you wasted on your crummy sword.
God. So stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid sword.
So, yeah. Tons of skills in this game. There's just so much to do. There's this whole... that I haven't gotten into yet, this whole like automation setup you can do with your farming and ranching things. I have briefly seen some clips of it where you like set up conveyor belts between, like, for example, you have attachments for your sprinklers that can like auto harvest for you. So you
that's cool.
Yeah. So you'd connect that with like your makers, you know, because you've got makers typical of like mason jars to make pickled vegetables and stuff like that. So you can like automate your stuff. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Well, even in this game too, there are some like kind of quality of life things that I am in love with. That are just really minor. So the scarecrow, and I only have the one scarecrow that you can craft like out of literal garbage. Which, by the way, a major crafting component is trash in this game, which is really, really cool. You can make like things out of like recycled materials and stuff. And then you also use it to like make compost and scrap to use for crafting other things. Very, very cool. I freaking love it.
You can then put scrap in your kiln and make glass.
Yep.
And,
yeah. It is amazing. So it's like such a cool additional resource. I love it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of trash everywhere. So
there's a lot of trash. Yeah. The scarecrows. So in Stardew Valley, the basic scarecrows just cover the immediate square around them, which I hate because I'm like, I just feel like I'm really missing a lot of space here. You know, like, it, I don't know, it doesn't seem worth it. These scarecrows cover two whole squares around them. So you get 24 total squares of coverage per scarecrow.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
You are in for such a delight.
I know. Like,
I have one scarecrow on my entire farm. It covers... I want to say... Actually, I don't want to guess because I don't want to get it wrong. But I bought... If you got the charity DLC that we talked about mm-hmm. on stream, it's the same size as that one. Merit scarecrows. But I bought one from using my merit points.
Yeah.
And it covers... Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like, completely changed... like, my perception of using them, because I've never been, like, a scarecrow person in Stardew Valley, which is stupid, I know, but I'm always like, it just covers, like, 8 squares, and you can get better ones, but I'm like, I hate how they look and stuff like that, but this one just feels better to me because it covers so much more space, and I don't have to have, like, as many, so I'm very excited to go into summer because I already have my scarecrows prepped, and that's another thing, because they're so cheap to craft, I don't feel like I'm losing out on something else because I made or bought a scarecrow. So yeah. I have 6 scarecrows ready to go with their squares around them that I can, like, boom, day one of summer, go buy some stuff and plant it. So very excited. Like, I feel really invested in the farming in this game, where a lot of other times I just feel like farming is like a means to an end, mm-hmm. you know, where in this game it feels more rewarding for some reason, you know?
Yeah. So the makeshift scarecrow... which is what you're talking about, covers a 5x5.
Yeah.
And then you can buy an ordinary scarecrow from Ben's little van, and you'll unlock it when you're leveling up your farming. So that and the ones you can buy from the Merit store cover a 17x17 area. So yeah, that's insane. I just have the one scarecrow, and then I have 6 of my 3x3 plots. So yeah. 3 on each side of that with sprinklers in between each one. So yeah. I just harvest, baby.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm really excited, because I've never cared about sprinklers in other farming games, because I just feel like the resources needed to make sprinklers is never worth it for me when you upgrade your watering can enough to be able to, like, water a bunch of stuff at once, you know? Yeah. I've never been, like, that into a big farm. And so if the scarecrows, again, are anything to go by, I'm assuming the sprinklers cover a better portion of ground, you know? So I think it's going to feel more rewarding to use those things than in other farming games.
Yeah.
So.
And they have those sprinkler attachments that I haven't figured out how they work. I have one that... is supposed to, like, auto-fertilize, but ooh. I haven't seen it actually do that, and I'm sure I'm doing something wrong. I don't really know how it works.
Do you have fertilizer?
Yeah, I have some in there. I don't know. I don't understand.
Well, you have to fertilize before you plant stuff.
Yeah. So, I just keep it on there.
Yeah.
All the time. Weird. I don't know. But... weird stuff. But there's the normal seeds in this game, and then we also have like fruit trees.
Yeah, I just got my first fruit tree from what did I get it from? Oh, from the tree planting festival. Mm. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also, like, plants, which are different than the trees.
Oh.
And I haven't totally figured them out yet. They take up a 2x2, and I think you have to water them every day.
Maybe that's what I have, is a plant and not a fruit tree.
I've been watering the trees, too, just in case.
Because when I water one square, it lights the other 3 up red, and I gotta water them. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't know, I'll just water it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I figured, and I probably just didn't pay close enough attention, but I thought all of the things I bought were fruit trees. But then I reached the end of summer, and three of the things withered up, just like the summer crops did. And so weird. I was like, okay, so is this going to happen with these other three trees? And they just also make stuff in fall? But now I'm thinking the ones that died were plants. And then these three are trees, two of which are still making fruit in fall. And one of them has not made fruit yet. So maybe that one's a tree and it doesn't die. And I don't need to be watering it, but I still am, just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I wish there was... Here's a big complaint I have. I wish the library, the in-game library, had books where I could figure stuff like this out. Yeah. Like, I want to figure out when certain fish are going to be at certain places. I wish there was a book in the library I could go read, like, I don't mind doing that, and figure out when these fish are going to be here, or figure out what the heck these plants and trees need, because, listen, Jeff Smith, who's our little How to Be a Farmer TV host, he gives you shit advice.
Yeah. I don't even remember the two things. Oh, one of the pieces of advice that I saw was he was like, well, my neighbor's not a farmer, but he goes fishing and he makes a lot of money too. So maybe check out fishing. And I was like,
yeah,
thank you.
That's not farming advice, Jeff.
Just a weird old man from like Idaho. I'm like, shut up.
One of his episodes, it was, you don't need to water your stuff when it's raining. Like,
yes, that was one of mine too. I was like, really?
I'm aware of that. Thank you for that advice. Thank you.
Gosh. Yeah.
There's just so much with this game. But yeah, I mostly just go diving and I love it.
Yeah. One of the things that I do really like, and I like the errands because they kind of fill in this gap, but right off the bat, you get presented with like some pretty long quests that are going to take a while to complete. Mm-hmm. So like the museum, the very first one is to donate 50 items, which like I think I'm at 30 right now. Nice. Between like bugs and artifacts, and I've barely done any fishing, you know, and then between like netted creatures that I've caught underwater. And then the general store. So this is something I do absolutely love. Again, this game feels like the people are real and like the location is real, because it's like, here's all the imported stuff. You can see we used to have local produce, but there's obviously nothing there. And people love buying the local produce. Everything that's come in your shipping bin, I put out, even though it's been not great, people have been buying it like crazy. Like, it's immediately gone. So, start, like, he sets a goal in order to incorporate the local produce in there. And it is shipping bronze quality fruits and vegetables. So, I'm almost done with the vegetables part. And I was like, how do I get fruit? Like, I don't have any fruit trees. I can't buy any fruit trees right now. So you gotta like level up the town or be able to buy fruit trees and stuff like that. And then obviously like the goal of like getting the town rank up, the ocean cleanup, you do 5 of those, which already was like kind of long. It took a couple days to do that. And then the next goal is 20. I've only done like 8, I think, 7 or 8. I think I just did the 8th one last night. So like a lot of really big long-term goals outside of like the seasonal bundles, you know? Yeah. So it is just so cool. Just like, I don't know. I kind of wish there were like some more smaller quests, but sometimes you'll get some in the mail. And then there are the daily errands that get you, not daily errands, but like the little community board errands that, you know, are on a shorter time frame. And then obviously like, there's the giants that keep giving me quests sometimes to do stuff. There's obviously the mine where I'm trying to free a giant. Like,
yeah,
it's just, there's just a bunch of stuff. And it doesn't feel like it's all separate. I like that all of it is very clearly separate, but I can see how all of them are working towards, like, mm-hmm. the same goal at the top. Right. You know, like, every single thing I'm working towards is restoring the island in some way, even though they're all completely, like, independent of each other, basically, which is really cool.
Yeah. Those errands piss me off sometimes, though. I'm like, no, I can't get you
a cauliflower cactus tomorrow.
In 2 days. Yeah. I don't even know how to grow that.
All right?
And then I got, so fall day two. So here's a hot tip for everybody listening. And you, Mackenzie, keep a freaking sunflower from summer in your inventory, because on fall day two, Valentina's going to send you a letter saying, I need a sunflower for Archie's birthday by the 26th. I'm like, girl, well,
I can't grow that.
I just gave Noah my sunflower for this other quest, and I could have given him any flower, but I wanted to give him nice ones.
That's something that I didn't realize I was going to want or need to do so early on, is storing like a couple of each thing. Like, I've just been harvesting stuff and shipping it unless a quest immediately needs it.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, I'm starting to kind of clue into, like, I need to kind of keep some resources for some of these quests, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like peonies. Betty wanted a peony for her errand, and I was like, okay, well, there are 3 days left in spring, and I have 3 days to complete this errand. It takes a peony 4 days to grow.
Yeah.
Had I literally just shipped a bunch the day before? Yes. So I was like, okay, well, I'll just make or buy. I made it the fast grow stuff. And I'm like, I hope this shaves one day off. It should. I don't know what else it would do, you know, so that I can at least harvest these and get them to her, you know, to complete this quest. And even if I can't do that, at least harvest them before summer starts so they don't just wither and I just, like, waste these resources, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah.
I've kind of just been like, yeah. Oh, one of them, too, that I did was somebody wanted a cauliflower, which takes 10 days to grow. And I'd fortunately only had 2 days left before mine were ready to be harvested. So I was like, well, that timing is very convenient. But if it was a quest and I didn't have some that were almost ready, I wouldn't be able to accept it because, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I can't grow it that fast. That's not how cauliflower works.
Yeah. So. There's a lot of errands I just don't pick up because I'm like, no, I don't know if I can make that in time.
Yeah.
But now I'm really stressed out about this sunflower thing. So I have to go. There's a boat merchant guy who comes up to fish and chips 3 days a week, I think. So I keep having to check his shop, see if he had a sunflower. Keep having to check Ben's shop, see if he has one. And then there's a little black market that's over by the lookout some nights. So I have to go over there. Oh,
man.
Yeah. I had one. I had saved one. I was like, I need that. And then Noah just wanted two flowers for fish and chips. And I was like, let me give you the flowers that I grew, not just the flowers you can find around the town.
Yeah.
And so I gave him those. And then Frank was there and he was like, why would you have her bring you these when you could just go up to the lake and get these? And I was like, you can't, because I gave you a peony and a sunflower and I grew those on my farm. Yeah,
shut up, Frank.
And then I needed a sunflower. So,
of course. Game new, reeled you in.
It really did. It got me, gal.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a good game. I just, like, it feels so cool to be playing a game where while I'm doing incredibly productive things, I'm still thinking about the other productive things I could be doing. Like, the relationship building, like, yeah, I'm doing a lot of, like, diving to clean that up, but then I'm like, okay, but I could also be mining in order to, like, get resources and get lower in the mine, but then also, like, I want to try to talk to people. And this is the other thing about this game, unless you really slow down the day, I don't think you could talk to every single person in one day unless that was all you did. I think, like, it would take so much time to go through and talk to everybody. And especially because on some days, like, some of them have four dialogues that you can click through and talk to them. And so I'm like, it takes so long. And just like talking to people as I'm running, I'm like, I've just spent 4 hours going from my farm to the general store because I talked to everybody that I saw, you know? Yeah. And it's like, so you just have to like figure out what you're balancing and like how much you're doing, you know, each day. Like, am I going to talk to anybody today or am I just going to ignore everybody and just go into the mine or go diving or farm or whatever, you know?
One of the best things about this game is the fast travel.
Yeah.
So you'll unlock fast travel, I think, when you complete the first bundle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then as not even having to complete new ones, just kind of as you're donating stuff to the bundles, you'll unlock more. Mm-hmm. So I'm missing a few still. Like, I can't wait till I unlock the one by the hot springs because that'll be a game changer. But you've got one right at your farm, so you can just hop over to that and then you can go down to the pier to go diving. You can go over to the town. You can go underwater.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ones I have unlocked right now, so the ones it starts you off with are the pier. So it's super easy to go diving. Mm-hmm. And then the goddess donation place.
Which is so nice.
Make it easy to go over there and donate, which is great because it is literally all the way on the other side of the map.
Yeah.
And I don't think we've made it clear enough. This map is huge. It is so big. It takes so long. Before I unlocked those things, when I was like working on the very first bundle, when I went over there, I had two of the items on me at the time. And then I was like, okay, I need to get these three other items. And it is so far away that I was like, I have to make sure I am ready to finish this bundle because I don't want to have to make another trip over there.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know it was going to like unlock the fast travel, but I was like, I don't want to have to make like three individual trips over there because it takes so long, you know, and like even the town and like all of the places, like I feel like I am picking and choosing like what errands in air quotes I'm going to run each day. Like, do I want to go to the furniture store or like whatever? Like a lot of times I'll go to the blacksmith and then the museum, you know, because it's like the most convenient, but I'm not like, oh, I have one geode. Let me go to the blacksmith. I'm like, let me get a couple of things for him to open just because it's like, it's not inconvenient, but it's not like everything is super close together. You know, like it feels like it's, I don't know, it just like makes sense how far away things are from each other. And like it feels very fleshed out, but it just is like slightly more inconvenient to do a bunch of things because of how spread out everything is, you know?
Right.
So. Yeah. Like, the hot springs when you were like, yeah, it'll refill your energy. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, how much time do you waste going up there?
Right.
Like, going back to wherever you were at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I have the closest fast travel to there right now that I have unlocked is the one in town, which is right next to the blacksmith. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's not really the town one, but whatever. So I can like kind of truck over there. But yeah, some days it's like, I'm just going to go to bed. It's not really worth it.
Yeah.
Go all the way over there. So
yeah.
But yeah, fast travel, huge. Love it.
Yeah. And it's totally free, which is so great. Like, it's so nice. I don't know if I've maybe used a warp totem like twice in Stardew Valley because they're so freaking expensive that I'm just like, not worth it really. Like, I'll just run.
Right. I'll just hope I make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't use the sea, like the underwater fast travel places that much. Just because when you're diving, which is really nice, you can move where your anchor spot is. Mm-hmm. So then it's like, okay, I need to start back up here next time. You drop your anchor there, and then when you go diving at the pier, that's where you'll start again. So
it's mostly so just convenient. It's so freaking nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really just like, I feel like, what other game were we talking about with this kind of stuff? But like, it's just a lot of really nice quality of life things that are completely like, if it didn't do that, we would be okay with it. You know, like, if underwater, the anchor always started at the same spot. Like, I assumed that's what it would do. Like, when you moved the anchor, I just assumed that was moving it so you can leave. But then when you came back, it would be back at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it said reset anchor. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And then I went down and I was like, oh, this is what you mean. Like, it's just little things like that that I'm like, it's such a nice thing to prevent you from being like, oh God, now I have to go, but I gotta swim through like 5 different zones to get where I was last picking up trash. Like,
oh yeah, and it's huge. So like, it's gigantic. The deep ocean. So the reset anchor is really nice because I still need a lot of bronze kelp, which is only in that starting zone.
Yeah.
So I'll reset my anchor and then get my bronze kelp, and then I'll like fast travel. Further down the ocean, so then I'm more close to where I was, and then drop my anchor again, and then I'm good.
So smart.
I know. I love this game. I have to clean the ocean.
Yeah. It's just so good. Like, I don't know. I'm really excited about it, and I feel like the only other game that I feel like I've been this excited about is Baldur's Gate because of how much, like, story there was in it. And with this game, I feel like there is so much story that we're getting, like, right off the bat that doesn't feel like I'm being overloaded, but it also doesn't feel like I'm only getting, like, the shallow surface level stuff. Like, I feel like we're in, like, a middle ground kind of area where they, again, have, like, made a lot of assumptions that you've played the genre before, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, have added additional things on top of that. So, like, we're not getting bogged down with, like, why did you move here? And, like, all of that kind of, like, really basic stuff that you do at a lot of the beginnings of these games. So it kind of jumps straight into, like, you get the drift.
Yeah.
There's a goddess.
You know what you're doing here.
You gotta clean up some stuff. This is your farm. Clean it up. You know the drill. Yeah. Buy seeds. Like, it doesn't, like, hold your hand through all of the basics. And I don't imagine that somebody's never played the genre coming into this game, but I'm curious what that would be like, you know?
Right.
Because I feel like I didn't get bogged down by a lot of, like, and this is how you do this, and this is how you do this thing. And so if you hadn't played the genre before, I wonder how easy it would be to pick up, you know? Yeah. Which, one of the things that this game does, control-wise, that I absolutely love, is you actually use your mouse to select the tile that you are interacting with.
Mm-hmm.
It is great. And the range for your tools is incredible. Like, from games like Stardew Valley and Palia, where you have to be, like, locked in on a single square right in front of you, absolute game changer. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't feel like farming is a burden because I can stand in one spot and water a bunch of stuff, you know, and plant a bunch of stuff. I don't feel like I have to, like, inch forward every time I want to interact with the square, you know?
Yeah, the farming's fun, and I feel like we have a lot more variety of crops you can grow in this one.
Well, I've only done the spring crops, and there's 6 of them. The fact that you grow, like, flowers right off the bat, I think is really cool. So
yeah, and as you rank up the town, more seeds will come available. So
yeah, oh for sure.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get into the ranching too. I have not even, like, looked at that yet. Ugh. Just because the building stuff was so, this is why I got into the cavern, is I wanted to go upgrade my house or buy a coop or something, but I need a bunch of bronze bars for it. So I was like, okay, I guess.
We didn't even talk about this ranching. So mm-hmm. You know, you've got your chickens, and then you can also have ducks in your level 1 coop. Your level 1 barn, you can have cows and sheep. Your level 2 coop, you can add quails. Level 2 barn, you can add goats. And then you can also get peacocks.
Can you get all the animals that are up at the ranch right now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there's llamas.
Yep.
And
there's another. What's it called? It's a cat, and it poops, and you use that poop to make coffee. What are those called?
A cat?
Yeah, it's like a cat thing. Here, let me just look it up.
That sounds fake. That can't be real.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I've heard of bat guano coffee, maybe? Am I crazy?
No, that's right. There's that as well.
Ew.
It's not ew.
Look, I don't want poop coffee.
Well, you don't have to drink it, okay?
You can't make me.
Okay. Chickens, ducks, quail, peafowl. That's all your coop animals. Barns. We got cows, sheep, goats, pigs, llamas, and a luwak. That's what it's called. Luwak. And it makes...
I never heard of that animal, and that's saying a lot. I've heard of a lot of animals.
And it makes the geisha coffee. Oh, it's not a cat. My bad. It's a civet, which I think is like close to a ferret and a...
Oh, I think you're right.
What's the other word? For
weasel.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And ermines and...
Yes.
I don't know if coatis are part of the ferret family. I think maybe they're part of the cat family. I don't know. Guys, I know a lot about animals.
Yeah. A Kopi Luwak, also known as civet coffee, is a coffee that consists of partially digested coffee cherries, which have been eaten and defecated by the Asian palm civet. The cherries are fermented as they pass through the civet's intestines, and after being defecated with other fecal matter, they are collected.
What person did this? What person did this? Who in human history was like, hey, I see that ferret just pooped out some seeds? They used to be coffee beans. I know we normally do with coffee beans. What if I took the poop coffee beans and I made coffee with those? That is gross. That's disgusting. It's
the most expensive coffee in the world.
It's literally just like that skit. Just because something is more expensive doesn't mean it's better. Like, that's weird.
Well, and it looks like if you're in Indonesia, you just shouldn't drink it. It looks like it might be part of like a bad, like abusive animal practice.
So
tourism
crazy.
Situation.
Wow. Who could have possibly guessed that a resource that is endemic to a Southeast Asian country that is very expensive, aka being exploited by the upper class and involves animals in its production, what's gonna involve animal abuse. Yeah. So crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, anyway. I don't know how I feel about making, I guess, ethical ferret poop coffee, so we'll see about when I get to that part.
Well, the point being, there's a good variety.
A lot of variety, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And we learned something. We didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know about this animal. I didn't know about this weird coffee. There we go.
Yeah, I knew about the coffee. I thought it was a cat, though. I did see one thing that called it like a cat, but now I'm kind of relieved it's not a cat because that seems more gross to me. But yeah.
Speaking of cats, I got a little kitty cat up here with me.
Aw, little kitty cat.
There's another one.
All right. You want to get into our rankings?
Let's do it.
Okay. So let's start with controls.
I'm going to give it, I feel like a 5 out of 5 is too bold, but I kind of love it. So I think I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. Especially because dialogues, there are different buttons to close different dialogues depending on the dialogue. So sometimes it's left click and sometimes it's right click. And I think like right click is normally when you're just like interacting with an object and left click is when you're like talking to a person or like it's opposite or something like that. But because it's different, I like that sometimes it forces me to not just like click through everything super fast so I don't miss as much. Yeah. So it's like a weird little thing that I noticed and kind of bothered me at first, but now I'm like, oh, but now I'm being forced to read what's going on in the game, which is nice.
Yeah. I give it a 4 out of 5 just because I too felt it was like inconsistent about left click and right click. Yeah. It does show you like what to click on, which is nice. But man, if I could just keybind cutting the fishing line to anything other than right clicking, that I would give it that
just
last point.
Just do
it
when you're fishing.
That's what I started doing. I started doing it like this because if the dog bumps my hand or whatever, then I accidentally right click, or I don't know. I guess I just rest my finger too forcefully
too
sometimes. And
you got a really heavy finger.
I guess. Ugh. It's just, man, I had been working on this fish for a while last night and I was like, oh my God, I'm finally going to get it. And then I cut my line. Oh my God. So,
so stressful.
Yeah. Okay. Story.
I'm going to give it, I think I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I don't know. I feel it's too generous, but because I'm not that far into it, but it just feels like there's so much. I want to give it a 4 out of 5 just because like, a lot of what the story is isn't, like, truly unique, you know? It's restore the town, restore the goddess, you know? Like, but it's just so good.
I know.
You
know? I don't...
I'm gonna give it a 4. I don't know. It's hard. I'm gonna give it a 5. Who cares? It's our podcast. It's a 5.
Right. I was also having a conundrum. I was like, well, it's not, like, a unique story. So should I really give it a 5 out of 5? And I was like, no, I'm giving 5 out of 5. I love the story. I love all the NPCs and their backstories. And I like the twists that they have, like the whole oil spill catastrophe twist, whole Mer Kingdom twist. Mm-hmm. I like it. I'm going to give 5 out of 5. Yes. Okay. Graphics.
Girl, you know it's going to be a 5 out of 5. I said that this game is so beautiful, I was almost crying for like a half hour. So, just walking around this island like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Wow. Just, did you hate this game, Mom?
Yeah.
Wow. You guys heard it here first. JC hates this game. She thinks it's
ugly. I already have 60 hours on it, but yeah, I hate it. I think there's like some of the NPC animations are like, oh, that was kind of silly. Like, if one NPC wants to hand something to another NPC,
they
take
put it in their pocket.
In their pocket go take it out of the pocket there. It's like, okay, that was a little silly. But I mean, I'm nitpicking over here.
Yeah.
So just, I think some of the animations are a little, lackluster.
I mean, that was my number one complaint, is that I didn't like the, like, basically, like, up to down swinging, anything with that, because they, like, kick their little leg back, and I'm like, that feels too cartoony, and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So,
I mean, it's still 5 out of 5 for me. It's whatever.
Fine. Okay, then replayability, continued playability.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 just because I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's too early for me to give it a 5 out of 5. Okay. But I just feel like, I mean, you said you've got 60 hours and you only have unlocked one other tunnel in the mine, right? Or have you unlocked more than one?
No, just one other one.
Yeah. You haven't unlocked all of the fast travel points. Have you unlocked the bamboo forest yet?
Nope.
Yeah. And have you gotten to, you haven't completed all of the coral cleanup stuff, right? Like, you're still doing that.
Still doing
Museum's not complete. Like,
no. I've donated 150 something to the museum.
Oh
so
my God.
I'm still not done. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. I haven't leveled up my coop or barn yet. That's the next thing I'm working on, but I need hardwood. And I don't even know where to get that.
Yeah.
It's in the forest somewhere. I don't know. I haven't really tried. But
wow.
I've got an ocean to clean.
Yeah. I'm focused on the real problem. The ocean. Which is real in this game.
It's real to me, damn it.
Yeah.
I give it 5 out of 5, obviously. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we did, you know, a year from now, another ranking of our top favorite games. If
we'd played this game earlier in the year, it probably would have been this versus Baldur's Gate for me.
Yeah.
Even with just the few hours that I put into it, which how many hours have I played? Let me see.
It's really good. I always have a special place in my heart for Stardew Valley. And I think I might like the dialogue of Stardew Valley more than this game.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, this is a really good game.
Yeah, I've got 10.1 hours. So I've played for 10 hours and I feel like I've barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it is a great game. We're in love with it.
I don't remember how much it costs because I bought the early access. Let's look real quick.
I want to say I paid full price for it. So let me see how much.
I think it is on the more costly side.
It's $30.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth that.
Yeah.
Listen, if Disney can charge you $30 for that
for real game,
you for can real. Spend $30 on this game.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. So this was a Kickstarter game, like Mackenzie mentioned. Basically, everything that's in this game was asked for by the community. Mm-hmm. Like, they added all this stuff because the community wanted it. So
when this game started on Kickstarter, it was basically just like, here's the character art and kind of the general vibe. They basically were like, yep, it's the farming game. You know and you love it. Anyways, here's the character art. Aren't they all hot? And everyone was like, I'll pay for this game.
Yeah. And it just grew and grew from there. So, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it feel like such an intentional and robust game.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Really, really good. Yeah. I love it. It's amazing.
I do too. I just want to play it all day, but I really need to get Christmas out.
Yeah, I got a lot of crap I gotta do. Oh, actually, okay, so I have one other graphical complaint.
Okay.
Mostly because I have the store page up and it's going through, like, the little pictures. I hate how the cows look.
I thought you were going to say the chickens, and I was like, I love the goofy chickens.
Yeah, I like the chicken because he's so small, but the cow looks just like the cows in Harvest Moon. And I don't hate them in Harvest Moon because they match the art style there. But in this game, they feel so goofy, you know?
I like them. Because, like,
the regular character models look like barely a caricature. Like, it's kind of like a cartoony-ish version of, like, a regular person. Uh-huh. And so then these just, like, balloon cows. I'm like, what is that? Like, when I first saw it, I was like, ew, stop that. What are you? And especially because, like, none of the other animals look that goofy, you know? Like, the llama. Just looks like a llama. Like, the llama matches the art style. The cow? What is that? You know?
So cute. Girl, we didn't even get into the different house styles. Like,
I know. There's just so much with this game. Yeah. So much of it, it's just crazy. Like, I think as we play more games, and especially more similar games, kind of overlapping when we're playing them, I think it becomes easier to see what sets games like this apart. And for this game, it really is, like, the quality of life improvements. Like, just the intentional, like, quality that everything has. You know, like, the different house styles. When you upgrade the house, how those different styles look. You know, like, it's just little things like that that always feel like, I don't know. It just takes a game from being like, oh, yeah, this is the same game, but, like, in a different costume, to being like, this is a better game, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, I was also flipping through these pictures. Man, these merfolk are hot, too. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. I will say
everyone.
That's the only really tropey character I just remembered is the princess, the mermaid princess is Ariel, yeah. basically. She's obsessed with the human world, collects things, you know.
You say that. But it's kind of funny. Tropey. That sounds tropey until you're like, anyways, I go down into the ocean every day, and I love cleaning up trash in the ocean and collecting things in the ocean because it's so cool. And you're like, wait, am I Ariel?
Girl, don't you dare.
You know?
Don't compare me to her, the hoarder.
I'd be more judgy if I also wasn't like, let me see all of your artifacts, little merfolk, you know?
Right. But I think they do that on purpose, like, to poke fun at it. It is actually kind of funny. But
yeah.
Anyway, it's a great game.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all can tell. We like love it.
Yeah, this is the Coral Island podcast now.
Yep.
Rebranding from Comfy Club to Coral Club. Stop. You're like, wait a second. We could do that.
Patreon content?
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. No, it is. It's great. We love it. There's just so much stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm getting spoiled by these little screenshots. I have to stop looking at the store page. Holy cow.
Yeah.
There's so much. It's just crazy that it's just such a good game. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. And this is the other thing. This is always like the good test for me on like a well-optimized game is, you know who hasn't had any problems playing the game? No slowness, no lagging, no crashes. This girl with that ancient PC power in this thing, which is impressive. Oh, because this is the other thing too. No spatial loading screens except for when you exit and enter a building. The whole island, like all of the different areas of the town, completely open.
Yep.
So it's not like you leave the farm, you had to go through a loading screen. You go somewhere else, loading screen. Nope. Whole thing loaded the whole time with all the people walking around in it.
Yep.
And all the little animals all moving around. Like, it's crazy. It's it's so good. Again, just when it does everything that it wants to do well, mwah. So, yeah, I'm in love with this game. It's great.
That's so good. I have to go, like, speed rush my chores so I can sit on the butt and play it.
Yeah. Samesies. Gotta clean out a turtle tank today. It's just like, I'm cleaning the ocean, but the ocean is in my house. Well, cool. Yeah, if you guys haven't checked out Coral Island yet, you know, it's definitely do it. It's great. Like,
if you get Steam gift cards for Christmas, you should direct them towards this game. It is not
very often, especially at this price point, that we are vehemently like, it's worth every dollar. And yeah, easily worth the $30. I thought when we were talking about it, I was like, oh, is this going to be like a $50 or $60 game?
Yeah, literally. You know?
Like, and even if it was a $60 game, I would be like, worth it, for sure. Like, no doubt about my mind. Like, easily. So, yeah, it's great. Go play it. I imagine they'll have more DLC in the future.
That'll be great.
You know, I imagine there's going to be, like, outfits and, like, styles and stuff like that. You know, yeah, I imagine they'll have, like, new events and stuff like that, too. So, there's just a ton of stuff that, like, it just feels like this game is not, like, one and done. Especially with how their Kickstarter and Early Access went. You know, it feels like we're going to be playing this game for a long time and loving it. And it's going to be getting better every single year. So.
Yeah. Can't wait.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, reviews, all reviews, very positive with over 10,000 reviews. So, yeah. It's great.
It's not even a month old yet.
Nope. I'm surprised that it's not overwhelmingly positive. So probably before our next episode on this, because we're obviously going to do another episode on it eventually, you know, I'll probably look through the reviews and kind of see what the non-positive reviews are about just to see, because I don't know. I saw a TikTok ages ago that was talking about book reviews, and it's like, wow, this book is perfect and there's nothing wrong with it. It's a literary masterpiece. And then you go and you look at the negative reviews and you're like, oh, they have a point, you know? So I'm kind of curious what the negative reviews for this game look like to see, like, Is it like a personal problem, or is it something that's been fixed and like the review just hasn't been updated? Like, what's the sitch there? What does our perfect baby have wrong, you know?
Yeah, it's not the problem. You're the problem.
Yeah. No, it's the children who are wrong. But yeah, so I'm excited to keep playing this game. I'm very happy with it. So, but yeah. Any other final thoughts? But you can't wait until the next time we talk about this game?
No, I think we've said enough.
I know. You know, only an hour and a half's worth.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, you guys definitely check out Coral Island. Let us know what you think. Tell us who you think you're going to romance, because it's like an impossible choice. I don't know how you decide in this game.
Yes.
It's crazy. So yeah, it's incredible. So yeah, if you guys have any thoughts, just let us know. And then next time we cover this game, we'll check it out, you know? Yeah. We'll check out what you guys have to say. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you on our next episode. Bye.
Goodbye.